Crosstalk Radio is sponsored in part by Love Work Recording Studios. Whether you need recording or mixing and mastering services, Love Work is all about quality and customer service. Check them out at theloveworkstudios.com or give them a call at 678-953-2170.
Yo, 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 it's your boy E. Hud, man, and I'm here on Crosstalk Radio with my boy Steph Swig and Big Pudge.
Talk about stuff people don't want to talk about nowadays. I want to address the elephant in the room. I want to be thought-provoking, open-minded.
Crosstalk Radio. Yeah, we got fans from Japan all the way to the Netherlands. Yeah, we got fans from Japan all the way to the Netherlands. Yeah, we got fans from Japan all the way to the Netherlands. We got fans from Japan, all the way to the Netherlands.
We coming through like it's season two. Hit you with the crosstalk, yeah, you know how we do. Changing the world one show at a time. We the salt of the earth, bringing light to your mind. Universal conversations. We appreciate the love we got back from every nation. Really, it's an honor that y'all listen to us. Cause Big Pudge and Steph Swig will give it to you. Transparency, spiritually, life lessons and politics, the ultimate greed. What I'm saying ain't no boundaries. When we at this table, bringing awareness to the things we see. So rest yourself and enjoy the show. You're guaranteed to be intrigued by this Crosstalk Radio.
Oh, oh. We got fans from Japan all the way to the Netherlands. Yeah, we got fans from Japan all the way to the Netherlands. Yeah, we got fans from Japan all the way to the Netherlands. We got fans from Japan all the way to the Netherlands.
Oh, I love it, Riz. I can't wait to go back.
Welcome to Crosstalk Radio. This is your man, Steph Swig.
And this is your man, Big Pun.
Thank you. We are glad to be back. This is our first Facebook Live, official Facebook Live Crosstalk video.
Yes, it is.
Crosstalk Live video. They will be live from now on. We also do it on Pop. We're also on iTunes. Tune in. Also, Buzzsprout.com.
Instagram.
Instagram. YouTube, everything. So, right now, we hesitated for a long time to go live because we wanted to get the studio in a way where it was presentable, but people encouraged us to go forth with it, so we decided to make this kind of fun for our listeners. Like this spot right here, we've been trying to decide what we're going to put right there. So instead of redeciding it, we want the listeners to decide for it. So please leave in the comments, hit us up, email crosstalkpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know what we should put right here. Just something that looks cool on YouTube and Facebook Live and all that good stuff. So anyway, topic today we're talking about divorce. And I'll let you know right off bat that this what it will be and what it won't be. It will not be us preaching about whether God is okay with divorce or not, or grounds for divorce. We're just simply here to talk about the minister to people who've actually been through a divorce, who are currently going through a divorce. Because as going through a divorce, me and Pudge both realize a lot of times churches don't really, not a lot of resources in church for the people who are going through a divorce or divorcees per se. So I felt like it was a really important issue to discuss. And, you know, like in church, they deal with the singles, they deal with families. But when it comes to divorce folks, it's kind of hard to find your niche, especially when you're going through a divorce, because it's a whole challenging thing anyway, you know?
Yeah.
So, again, I will say this. I do believe God hates divorce. I don't believe God wants anyone to get divorced. I think it hurts his heart when he gets divorced, when people get divorced. However, there are unforeseen circumstances that will unfortunately lead us there in some cases. If you are contemplating a divorce, I'm not going to tell you to or not to get a divorce. I'm just going to say what me and Pudge experienced and the stuff I've learned along the way. I did a lot of counseling, received a lot of counseling, read a lot of books on divorce. And as I, of course, I've gone through one myself. I'll share the different phases, how you feel, what's natural, what's normal. Because one thing I felt like when I first started going through was, you kind of feel alone. You kind of feel like you're the only one dealing with this kind of stuff. And then the more and more you talk to other people, you realize that you're not alone. And we'll go through all of that. But anyway, if you are contemplating getting divorced, I would say only get one if there is absolutely no reconciliation possible. No reconciliation anywhere on the horizon. I do believe God can do all things. But however, we still have to make the decisions to follow what he's telling us to do. You agree, Pudge?
Yeah.
All right. So first off, Pudge told me this a long time ago, and I would agree. He said he don't wish divorce on anybody. A lot of times, divorce is probably one of the worst things you can go through in your life.
It truly is.
It's a very painful, confusing, emotional roller coaster, all of the above. It's a damaging factor, and it is not fun.
Especially if you have kids.
Yeah.
And so,
you're absolutely right. So we'll go through some things. We'll talk about tips if you got kids. If you don't have kids, it's a lot easier. Not, you know, that's just the fact
that's
of the matter.
That's just the bottom line.
Fact of the matter, because it's a lot. So anyway, Puzz, you want to jump in or you want me to keep going? Okay, cool. And so what I'm not going to do, me and Pudge are not going to do, we're not going to bash our exes. We'll share the truth, our truths, but we're going to still respect their boundaries and their privacy as well. I will share a few things about my marriage just to kind of set the stage as to, just to get, I don't know, give me some kind of street cred for whatever, I don't know. But I was married. I got married back in 1998. I was 19. She was 17. We was married for 20 years, and then a year ago, she decided that she did not want to be married anymore. And what I learned after fighting for a marriage that was ending anyway is that you can't force people to stay, and if someone wants to actually walk away, you actually have to let them. You know, I didn't understand that at the time, but as I grew, I understood that. Now, that's what led to my, that's what led to it with the issue, what some of the issues were. I can't tell you everything. Out of respect for privacy, I just brought up the fact that we got married very young to kind of set the stage as to what some of the factors were that led to marriage. At the end of the day, she was 17 when we got married. She left her house as a teenager, moved right into my house as a wife and future mother. So no time for development or no time to learn who she actually was and the things she actually wanted out of life. So 20 years later, here we go dealing with this. So either way, she left. I have, she left me with four kids, four beautiful kids, by the way, and everybody's fine now. However, we didn't just get there overnight. And so
his process was a lot faster than mine's, though.
Yeah.
and honestly, everybody goes through things differently. Mm-hmm. Everybody goes through their phases differently. Even when, like Steph said, he felt like he was by himself. You could have a friend that's going through something or experienced something like what you're going through, but you still feel like they don't quite 100% understand how it is that you actually feel.
Oh, I knew Pudge understood. I knew Pudge understood. He went through it before I did, so I knew he understood. Yeah,
he was my shoulder for a long time. And the funny part was is he didn't even know me that long.
Yeah.
Before he became my shoulder, but you know that. I guess we're gonna get into that as far as like when the times to confide and
talk about stuff. So. It's a lot of tips I got to give y'all, and I hope y'all are paying attention, and I really hope y'all get some. I know y'all will get something out of this. Because, you know, if unfortunately, divorce is a very common thing. I still don't think it should be as common as it is, but however, it's common. But it is life-changing. So I read a couple of books. Like, when I go through stuff, I read books about it to help me get through it. Mm-hmm. What I did learn, though, about divorce is that it's not as, like, your situation is not as unique as you may think it is. Despite what it is, I've Googled everything I went through, and it's somebody who's dealt with the same thing. And I read this book here, and this book is written by a therapist, and he tells you there's different phases you'll go through during your divorce process, emotional phases. And I'm going to read some of them off, and I went through some of them. I think it's 19 phases here, but sometimes some people don't go through all of them, but you do go through most of them. And despite how it's labeled here, you might go through denial this time, and next week you might go through something totally different. Mm-hmm. Someone else might go through divorce, and they might go through a different step before you do. Everybody's different, depends on your circumstances. So here's some of the phases that they say you go through. You go through denial. I'm sure if you're going through divorce, you've already dealt with the denial. Fear, adaptation, which is meaning adapting to being without the person. Of course, the loneliness me and Pudge just talked about. Mm-hmm. You might feel guilt, rejection, low self-esteem, that kind of stuff. Grief, anger, have a problem letting go, you have to let it go, learn your self-worth again, transition. They got all kinds of stuff. Then the final one they have on this block is freedom. That's when you're free from all the emotional turmoil, when you're actually over the whole situation. And so we'll talk about that a little bit more. So for me, I went through the denial, I went through the grief, I went through the anger, I went through all that. When you're going through a divorce, though, I want to give y'all some information, like some help. Like, it's okay to feel the way you feel. Mm-hmm. You have to give yourself room to feel each and every one of these things. If you don't, you're denying yourself your healing. That takes away your healing if you can't acknowledge the fact that you're hurting. Divorce is something you are to grieve over because it is actually a loss. Despite how bad the circumstances are, it's a loss of a lot of things. It's a loss of years of life, your marriage, your relationship, all these things. There is a loss. Every counselor, every book I've ever read said to take time to grieve. So grief is a serious phase of, I think that's the longest phase for me, grief and denial for me.
Yeah, denial is normally it's normally the person that doesn't want to leave the marriage. Mm-hmm. Their denial stage normally lasts a lot longer.
You're absolutely right.
And it's just because, especially if you've been with somebody for one person for a very, very long time, every time you have a thought of doing something and then the thought of doing it without that person hits you, you know, it's like, nah, it's not really, you know, it's not. So some people's denial stages
last
a lot longer.
I agree. It was hard for me because, like I said, me and my wife, we actually grew up as husband and wife. Like, we went from teenagers to adulthood, from teenagers to our 30s and almost 40s before we separated. And so, yeah, for me, it was hard. And also being that she was the one who left, this is actually in the book here. The person who leaves versus the person who didn't want the divorce and didn't see it coming, they go through the same phases at different times. But the person who left, they've already dealt with the denial, so they don't have to deal with the denial anymore because, you know, they've already contemplated their move. They've already thought it all the way out. Like, okay, if I leave, if they decide to leave, they thought it wasn't just up and I'm out. Yeah, they thought about it for probably months of, if not years before, trying to figure out how they can work it out. If they can work it out, can I stay? What's going to happen if I don't stay? What's going to happen if I leave? How am I going to start my life over again? They had to deal with all these steps. So I felt like, in a sense, it's almost unfair because she had time to prepare for this and I did.
Right.
So I thought I had to, in my sense, I had to play catch up with that.
My situation, I'm people who know I'm transparent. I was the one that kept throwing divorce out there. Like, I was the one that was like, man, I'm tired of going through this. You know what I'm saying? I'm leaving. I'm out. You know? And 13 years I was married for, and it wasn't the whole 13 years I was saying that, but me and Steph both have exes who were pre-scarred before we met them.
Yeah.
And I did not know that I constantly was hitting a trigger every time I would threaten to leave. Okay. Now, mind you, I wasn't threatening to leave because, you know, you ain't cleaning up the kitchen. You ain't putting up the dishes right. You ain't washing clothes. That's not me. My threats were just, I had one major issue, and I had that issue for the entire 13 years. So, anytime I would say I'm leaving, that issue would get fixed. So it became something normal to say whenever the issue would get fixed. And then after for so long, it'll fall back off and they'll go right back to that. I'll try to deal with as much as I can. But when I got to my wit's end, I would say that. So that became a trigger for her to where mentally she started preparing herself to not be with me. While she was still with me. I didn't know this, though.
Wow.
You know, so like I said, you know, people go through a lot upstairs where they start preparing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I found all this out after the marriage was over, after we were actually able to, like, talk, have a conversation and stuff like that. I found out that I was damaging. I was hitting triggers of things that previously already happened before. I was hitting those triggers throughout the marriage, and she was never talking about leaving. I was always the one saying that. And because I said it, it damaged her mental state to the point where she was preparing to actually leave, to the point where she actually started looking for somebody while we were still together. And when she found him, she was completely done with me, even though we were still living in the same house. So it starts up here.
It does. It does. So again, if you're the spouse who left, you have already had time to prepare. If you're the person who stayed and wanted to fight for the marriage, you were kind of blindsided. Even though you may have seen it ending, you still didn't know it was actually going to end. You still holding the hope that things were going to turn around.
Right.
So it does blindside you for a while. So it hurt me for a while. And then, I, like I said, I go to counseling. And so I wanted to skip around a little bit. So what I would tell y'all, everything I've read will suggest these steps as far as your healing. Because you can prolong your healing or you can encourage it, but you cannot rush it. Time is the only thing that's going to heal it, but, you know, you doing it the wrong way can hinder it. So, of course, me, I like to read. So, if I'm hurting, I want to see how long I'm going to be hurting. So, can you tell me how long I'm going to be hurting from this? So, I read books on that. I Googled it. How long does it take to get over a divorce? And, of course, there's no actual time.
No.
There's no actual time. But what they did say, they said, on at minimum, per 10 years you were married, it takes 1 year to get over 10 years of marriage. Of course, that's a minimum. Whew. Depends. So, but on average, from people I've talked to, what Google says, what the book says, on average, it takes about 3 years. That's what everybody told me. Even Pudge told me the same thing. So for me, I'm waiting. I'm literally waiting like 3 years for me. It's going to be March 1st, 9:30 in the morning. I'm going to wake up. I'm good. I'm good. It's over. It's over. It's going to work like that, Pudge. Don't speak that for
well,
me.
Well, a correction. I know.
So I got,
I put God in the box.
I got my date March 20th. On, look, March 20th, no, March 1st.
I'm laughing.
March 20th by 2020, I'm going to be completely done. I'm going to wake up, but shoot, March 2nd going to be the bomb in 2020, though, boy. That's I'm going to plan a party right now based off of that, but
I'm going to be there to give him a big hug if it don't go out.
I'm all right, man. I'm already healing already. My process started a year ago. I'm still in the middle of it. But at the same time, though, Pudge is good with his. I'm not. I'm still in my certain phases, but... One thing is, don't get blindsided when they come back in a cycle, because you deal with grief off and on throughout the whole process.
Mm-hmm.
It could be anything. It could be a song. It could be something somebody said. It could be a smell. It could be somewhere you've seen. Anything. It could be an old, just a flashback come back and hit you, just take you to a whole different place. Now, I'm not at super odds with my ex currently. However, I do go through my phases. Like, I even told her, like, yo, sometimes I'm cool with you, sometimes I'm not. It's nothing she's doing currently, but it's like, it's still a process. Like, when you're going through, man, you got, like, all kinds of just emotion that come and go. Sometimes I want to be friends. Sometimes I don't want nothing to do with it. You know what I mean? It's just, mm-hmm. it's a weird feeling, but it happens. It throws you off your guard, but don't feel bad. It's a normal thing, but other things going to take place. Other things going to help you to heal is actually time.
Yeah.
You know,
which nobody has a number on it. It's just
look at
you can put a number on it, and I'm not gonna tell.
I'm kidding when I say that.
But I'm saying though, if you because my thing is, you know, activate your faith, walk on that. Like,
yeah.
I'm never gonna tell you that if you set a certain date where you're gonna be done with your mm-hmm. grieving, that God is not gonna grant that. I'll never say that. So you know, if you have faith like that, set it. I was. Like, Steps, his process went kind of, he had some bumps in the road. Mine was off a cliff. You know what I'm saying? I was riding on the side of a cliff. My divorce was bad.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't good at all. I became somebody who I never knew I was. I was mentally unstable. It was just all bad. And, you know, me and Steph both have kids. So we're speaking from experiences where kids were highly affected by mm-hmm. decisions that we made. Up to the point where my youngest son made a song describing the day that he found out we were getting a divorce, and it messed me up. And like right now I'm going back, you know, 6 years ago, 5-6 years ago. So it took me like 2.5, almost 3 years to actually really heal for real. And when I say heal, from my personal experience, it wasn't about, like, see, I thought that after I got over her, like, I didn't want her anymore. I thought I was going to be done. I didn't realize that I think I'm where Step is. Like, I was where Step phase is right now is where that was my second phase. Like, I didn't know there's phases to getting over. Like, after I didn't want her no more, I still couldn't stand her. I still was bitter. I still was pissed off. And it was because of everything that she had did, everything that she had put me through, things that I felt like she put me and the kids through. So it for the most part, it took me more time to get that out of my system versus it took me a while to get over. I mean, 13 years is a long time. So I was my denial state clearly was almost a year long. A year long. But again, not going to go into any personal details, but there was a lot of cloudiness going on with mine. Steps was pretty clear. Like, this is it, no more, done. Yeah. Mine was, this is it, no more, done. Oh, I think maybe. I want you again. And,
you know
what I'm saying? Then when the nigga that you mess around with don't act right, I want to come back home. And so it was a string-along type deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And any, And the even more hurtful part is that God was giving me so many answers to let go, so many confirmations to let go, and I wouldn't listen. And I know a lot of people who have experienced divorce know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you don't want to let go.
You don't want to let go, even though you know it's Abatelli. And I mean, I had God telling me, your life is going to be a lot better. And I was like, I don't want that. You know what I'm saying? I was like, I just didn't, because, and Steph can understand this, from a man who takes care of his family and has never not been with his children, a man goes through, just like a woman goes through when he thinks about his family not being together anymore.
That was the most devastating thing to me because, of course, when you get married, you don't ever think you're going to get divorced. Because if not, you wouldn't have got married.
Right.
So for me, I never wanted that for my kids. I never wanted that for me. I never wanted to have a divorce on my record. Like, a divorce? Are you kidding me? Like, why? Right. We got married. We was in love. That's all we thought we needed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but things happen, whatever. But it was embarrassing for me. It hurt me. No one made me feel embarrassed, but it's just embarrassing. Like, mm-hmm. I took pride in being a married man with my family. I took pride in going to school with me and my wife and my kids and showing people there are Black families together that go there with their kids. I took pride in all of that stuff. So when it fell, it hurt. It embarrassed me. It hurt me. And I think when you go through divorce, you're embarrassed. And you go through those phases where you don't want to tell people you're divorced. And you go through the phase when it's awkward, when you think some people know, then you talk to them. Oh, I didn't know you was divorced. Like, wow. Oh, I saw such and such. Yeah. Or they see me show with another lady or people, you know, question me on Facebook. Like, yo, what happened to you on such and such? Like, I thought everybody knew at this point.
And a perfect example. Okay, so I'm going to just go ahead and just tell the world. So, This is version two of the same topic. We recorded last week on Instagram. I'm only bringing it up.
Fine.
Soon as we left here, I went to my computer guy.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I've been knowing my computer guy almost 20 years.
Yeah.
You know what he says to me when I get there? Oh, man, how you and Miko doing, man? How y'all been?
Oh, God. How's that feel? Does it bother you still?
It only bothered me because we had just talked about it.
Oh, okay.
That is the only reason why it bothered me because, I mean, it hadn't been an hour since we had just got up and talked about it.
But I
laughed when he said it because I said, dude, I just got finished talking about stuff. Like, people make comments like this, and I'm like, and I just explained to him everything that was going on, and he was just like, wow, man, I'm sorry to hear that. And side note, I understand that it is natural for people to say, I'm sorry to hear that. When people tell me, I'm sorry to hear that, my response is, don't be. That was one of the best things that ever happened to me. And because of that, I am a much better man now.
Yeah.
So now, some people, you know, it is a sorrowful thing. So just monitor how the person is talking about their divorce if you want to be like, sorry.
It depends on the phase they in, what you can say.
True.
If they in the phase, I'm happy for you. Good job. You
right,
know?
Right.
If they in my phase, it depends on what day it is.
Gay, right. You know? Right. What day it is.
Yeah.
So gauge how you want to say
the
that.
The hardest thing for me in the beginning was, you know, tell people that it was over. I just made, because I'm transparent. I'd rather get everything off as opposed to hiding stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I really do wish there was a button that could just push, like, everybody in the world on divorce, and it just downloads everybody. That way, when I see people I haven't seen in years, yo, what happened to you and such and such? Yo, how you and such and such?
They already know. That,
yeah. Oh, man, who's this new lady you got? What happened to your wife? Like, we already know. And it hurts because after a while, people shot, and you got to tell them, well, we didn't make it. We didn't make it. We didn't. Especially after 20 years, when people are always going to ask about it, yo, we didn't make it. And I hate having to keep on saying that because I don't give up on anything. I didn't give up on the situation, but that was like that. I took that as an L at the time.
Yeah.
Either way, I'm better now. I'm happy. I'm doing a lot better than I would have been in a situation if I would have stayed in there. Like, I had a choice. I didn't have a choice. She left, so I didn't have a choice.
Right.
But either way, I want to move a little bit further. We're going to talk about what you can actually do to help yourself and talk about how it affects people. So right now I want to talk about understanding. Maybe we need to bring it up a little bit. Give some people some hope real quick.
Right.
So, all right. So what you need to do to help yourself heal. Number one thing, talk to people. Find your family or friends that you can talk to. Talk to. Do not leave it pent up in you.
But talk to positive, energetic people.
Yeah.
Don't talk to somebody who got a... Don't talk to somebody who has went through a similar situation that you went through, but they handled theirs way messy, way in a negative light, Now, if they handle it like that, but they're much wiser now to where they're telling you the way I handle it is not what you want to do, then that's a good person to talk to. But make sure that the person you're talking to is giving you positive feedback. Not saying positive feedback is going to be something that you want to hear. It's positive, and it's good energy.
Yeah.
I just wanted to put that out
there. Thank you. Also, if you're not comfortable in those situations, or if you are, talk to a therapist. They have training. They have experience. They can help you get through these phases a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
Do not isolate yourself and be alone. Take your time for you. Learn who you are in this season. Learn who you are outside of the marriage. Me and Push talked about this last time, but we had technical difficulties, so y'all just now getting it for the first time.
Right.
We talk about when you marry, you make compromises, not in a bad way, but you become someone you don't know who you actually are. You've been married so long. I don't know who single Steph is right now. Right. What would Steph like to do if he wasn't married? What would Steph watch if he wasn't married? What would Steph eat if he wasn't married? So I took the time to kind of learn who I was and what I actually wanted out of life.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to take that time. Give yourself time to actually heal. You're going through a divorce. You're not going to be able to do the things you did at 100% capacity right now. Take a step back. Take a notch. Maybe 50% capacity. Maybe 65% capacity. But you can't have that same weight that you had before. Do something you always wanted to do. Skydive. Paint. Whatever hobby that marriage kept you from, this is your time to breathe and find the new you. Who you are in 2019. Who you are in 2020. Whatever year is happening for you. Find out who you are.
Let me give them an example. Example would be, and I shared it last week, where I was married to someone who didn't like, if you wore any kind of jewelry or, you know, you spent too much time or money on yourself, you had a vain spirit. So subconsciously, I was not buying myself things. I wasn't doing certain things. And it's the compromise in a relationship. So, but I was doing these things, but it wasn't bothering me. Like, it wasn't like I was depressed because I was refusing to buy me jewelry because of what she might say or something like that. It's a natural compromise. So what I realized when I got a divorce was that I was in the store somewhere and I saw a watch and it was a bad watch. And I just said, you know what? I'm about to buy me a watch. And then I said to myself, why you stop buying watches anyway? And couldn't even think about it. So I'm chilling with my son and it's like the third watch. He like, dad, you getting a little spiffy with all these watches. You know what I'm saying? He was just like, why all of a sudden now you all in the watches? And I was like, always in the watches. I said, boy, I've been in the watches. And then it hit me. I was always in the watches. The woman I was married to felt like that was something vain to do. So I stopped buying watches. I stopped buying jewelry. I started getting back to knowing me again. Mind you, I was with somebody for 13 years, so there was a large portion of me I totally forgot about.
Yeah.
Because I just opted out about that side of me. Mm-hmm. But learning to because honestly, if you're with any, you don't have to be married. If you've been with somebody for 5 years, there's things that you're not doing for yourself. In my opinion, there's things that you're not doing for yourself. And it's because of who you are with. And it's not saying it's a good thing or a bad thing. We're not talking about good or bad. We're just talking about just
facts. Period.
Facts. Yeah. That. And so me leaving or me, I had to learn how to, when I started buying the watches again and my son talked to me about that, that's when I realized, wow, what else about me that I used to love to do before I got married that I don't do anymore? I started coming up with a bunch of things. I used to love going to the movies by myself. Born Monday, first matinee movie, nobody in there. You know, I used to love doing it by myself.
Love it.
I stopped doing it. So what happened when I became single again? I started doing it again. When you spend more time getting to know who you are, like Steph said, doing things that you've always wanted to do, that you've never done, you become much more happier.
Mm-hmm.
You become much more at peace with yourself.
With yourself.
And then And them two things, becoming happier with yourself, becoming at peace with yourself, everything else starts to fall into place. Now, you may have some moments where you break down because you're realizing how much you've neglected yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But that's an okay moment. That's an okay moment to have,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying, and just move forward. But I just want to give an example of
that's a good example.
Getting to learn who you actually are all over again.
All right. You're absolutely right. And you have to understand, when you go through a divorce, you're not the only one affected. Your family's affected. Your kids are affected. Your friends that you had together were affected. Like, a lot of times people don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. Like, especially your friends. Your friends don't know who to lean to, who not to lean to. Like you know, you don't know. Like, the friends are confused. And the book says you experience this. Like, if you have married friends and the moment you get divorced, they kind of distance themselves to get away from you because they don't want that divorce juice on. Like, you're toxic to them because they back away from you because now they kind of, according to the book, they're fearful. Like, wow, they didn't make it. I don't want them around us. Like, they back away.
That's crazy.
I never experienced that.
Neither have I.
I've never experienced that at all. I don't think I've lost any friends because of it. Some people, I'm sure some people have, in other situations, have lost friends because of divorce. But I don't feel like I lost any friends. We actually still have mutual friends, which is kind of weird for me at times. But of course, when you go into a divorce, like, the bitter phase, you don't want nobody. You want everybody to cut them off. Forget her. Don't talk to her. Nobody do nothing with her. She loses everything. She ain't get me, my family, my friends, nothing. Right.
Nobody. And then you consider that person a traitor.
Yeah, a traitor. Like, yo, how you hanging out with her? You the enemy now. But you do go through this phase, though, where if you have mutual friends, you start wondering, like, let me back up. When you go through a divorce and y'all live in separate houses, at this point, you don't want nothing to do with them. You don't want them to know nothing about you, not your address, not what's going on in your house, nothing. I don't want her to know nothing. That's how I was feeling. I don't want her to know nothing. So being that we had mutual friends, it didn't strain my relationship, but it also made me feel a certain kind of way in my mind. Like, yo, what is she telling her when she leaves here about me? Mm-hmm. What is she telling her? What kind of spies I got in my house? You know what I mean? And then this is where the kids come. This is where it gets complicated because Pudge had to school me on this one. Because I don't want, it's not like I was doing anything dirty or wrong in my house, but it's like at the point, you left my house, this is no longer your concern. Me in this house is no longer your concern. Although you have kids here, in my mindset, it's no longer your concern. Okay, less of the kids, then maybe that should be your concern. But when it comes to me, I don't want her to know nothing. I don't want her to know if I bought new socks or nothing.
Right.
So when she started telling me about the stuff she knew was going on in my house, that really bothered me. I took it personal because I told my kids, don't tell these things. Don't share this with your mom. If she wanna know anything about what's going on with me, she can ask me herself. And I still tell it's none of her business. That's what I was saying. And then she was still getting information. So now everybody around me is a suspect. My mutual friends are suspect. My in-laws are suspects. My kids are suspects. I'm pulling them to the corner. Hey, which one of you, who you think told? And I was telling Pudge, they just went up to me. Nobody told. So I told Pudge about it. And Pudge had to school me saying, that's just their way of healing. You know, they share stuff just because that's their way of healing. That was the first time I had to really think about their healings. I was so caught up in what I didn't want, how I was feeling, I didn't really recognize that they needed things to heal as well. And so once I realized that, I got less offended. I was still a little bit offended, but I got less offended. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I read the book, and there's a couple things I want to give y'all some tips on helping your kids get through it because you're going to have to get through it. Understand, it is traumatic for them. And they may have a feeling of abandonment issues because of the divorce. It can cause that in your kids. So you have to do everything you can to make them know that they are loved, that you are not going nowhere, that your other parent who's outside the house is not going nowhere, and that they are still loved by the parents, that they're not the reason y'all got divorced. You can't say it. You have to get them to understand and find a way to make them understand. I don't know how each kid is different, so you got to show them a different way. Another thing you have to do, and I hate to tell you this, because it is painful, but you have to let them know, hey, listen, if there's no chance in hell that y'all are getting back together, your kids need to know that. So the sooner they know that mommy and daddy's not getting back together, the sooner they can heal. It's like pulling a band-aid off. Let them know in the way that you can let them know gently or however you need to do it with them. Let them know. Mm-hmm. And this is, okay, that's all the heavy stuff, the painful stuff. Now, the fun stuff was, because my kids, they stay with me. That's just the way things were said. That's what me and my ex-wife agreed to. They stay with me. So what we did when she left, you know, we embraced each other, we prayed, some of us cried, some of us didn't, but we dealt with it. But when it became fun was, we kept some of the traditions that we can keep. That's one thing they say you have to do, keep traditions, keep our normalcy. So
make up new ones, right?
Make up new ones, too. So I kept some of the old stuff that we can do that me and the kids always did. Not the stuff me, my kids, and my wife did, but me and my kids did. And then we created whole new traditions. Like, kids, what do we need to do differently? What should we change? Mm-hmm. So the fun part was, kids, what rules y'all thought was dumb? What can we change now? Let's make some new rules. Let's change some rules. Let's get rid of some rules. Mm-hmm. And so what rooms do y'all want to do? What y'all want to do with y'all rooms? So we changed the colors of the house. We changed it. We made it our situation now. It didn't feel like my ex-wife was here anymore. We changed it to fit our new life. It wasn't erasing her, but it was changing the situation to where it was now. She doesn't live here, so we're going to change the house the way we want to do it for us. So we painted rooms, we added shelves, we did all kinds of different things. We created little trips that we do once a month that we do. Just all kinds of stuff just to heal and just to have some kind of fun. Mm-hmm. You know, and that was very therapeutic to me as well as them. It was actually healing. But understand your kids may be taking longer to heal, even if they're showing that they're okay, they might not be. So just make sure you're very attentive to them. Also, this is the hardest part, me and you talked about before. This was the hardest part for me. Like, going through divorce is hard. It almost feels crippling and debilitating. Sometimes you might want to lay in a fetal position and just give up on life, but you don't. You can't do that. If you have kids, you don't have that option.
Yeah, you don't have that
you
option.
You have
at
to
all
be strong and be children. A parent to the kids. So, me, I made it a point to make sure I disciplined my kids. Made sure I checked on their school stuff, made sure they was eating properly, made sure they knew they had a actual functioning parent in the house. It wasn't to be an a-hole to the kids, but I wanted to make sure mm-hmm. they knew that I was still a parent. I wasn't out of capacity as a parent. As a man, sometimes I may have been, but mm-hmm. as a parent, I don't think they felt like they didn't, that dad was completely checked out. Although I may have been at times,
right.
they didn't feel it. When I right. checked out, it was after I parented them, I would go to my room and just deal with it myself. I would right. write in my journal. I might cry, I might sing, I might, just whatever emotion I was feeling, I had to get it out. Mm-hmm. Those are things you do with your kids. What you don't do with your kids, you don't do this, Pudge.
You don't become their brother or their sister.
You don't become their brother or their sister. You still become their parent, and you do not, I don't care how bad your other spouse was, do not bash them kids' parents to the kids. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I get emotional. I'm batting on the table. You do not bash the kids' parent, other parent. You do not do that.
Easier now, said than done.
Easier said
and
than
I,
done.
And we're going to say easier said than done because I did a lot of that.
I didn't do any you know, of it to my kids.
I did a lot of it. She did a lot of it. Mm-hmm. And it damaged our kids. You know, when like I said, my divorce was bad. It was not a good one. And our kids got caught up in the middle of it.
Yeah.
We even started having family counseling while the divorce was going on.
Uh-huh.
Because we already knew that the kids was going to need it. The counselor never got finished. And that was a bad thing because 5 years later, 6 years later, I could still see some of the damage to some of my children. So it's not counseling is something that it's almost like it's inevitable, man. If you are a counselor, y'all still need it. Like, to me, y'all need that.
Counselors know they need counseling. Every therapist I know, they say they go to therapy.
Oh, wow, that's dope.
I think some of it might be required. Some of it just them knowing how beneficial it is for them. They got to get that stuff off, too. But, yeah, go ahead, Pudge. I'm sorry.
No, that was pretty much it. That was pretty much it.
And so when it comes to your kids, do not bash the other person around them, of course. Do not do the competition where the parent buy them a bike, you buy them a better bike. Don't do that crap. Just be you and live within your means and just be co-parents. Be civil as you possibly can.
Right.
Now, easier said than done. Look, trust me, I get it. I do. I understand that. I do. I can say I've never bashed my ex-wife to my kids. I don't know what she says about me. The kids don't treat me any differently. I will say I have bashed other people because you have to get that out. Me and Punch talk about this all the time. Like, I'm not a person who cuss until I start going through divorce. I used to feel like cussing was wrong. And then to go through divorce, you feel like it's necessary. And so you have to get it off. You can judge me all you want. But at the same time, you have to get it out. You have to get that out. You cannot keep that bottled up. So whether you're getting out on a therapy, whether you write a letter, one thing they told me to do is write a letter to my spouse, but never give it to her. So I did that. I think I did that. But most of the time I just call people and talk to them, or I just say what I want to say out loud. And I did have one special friend who allowed me to cuss him out. And it was a wonderful thing for me. I don't know how he felt.
Appreciate you, Rob.
Yeah. I don't know how he felt after that call, man. But he volunteered. He's like, yo, if you don't. Because everybody always kept me. I had a good circle of friends. The one thing my friends keep me from doing when they know I'm going through, they always tell me, Pudge, because the test is. Pudge said, Stephan, whatever you do, don't spaz out.
Yeah.
If you're going to spaz out, do it around your boys, not her or the kids.
Yeah.
So I took that to heart. So when Rob said, yo, if you need to get it out, man, you can call me and cuss me out. So
he called him and gave him a call.
One day she had got to me because when you go through divorce, it can be
smallest
thing. It could be the she could tell me she didn't like the flowers in front of my house or something at this point, and it could be anything or the skies. But no, it's not as purple. You know, it could be anything. So this particular day, she did something that really, really got under my skin. It had me hot, 38 hot, they say. And I called Rob. I was like, yo, Rob, man, I need to cuss you out. And that's all I said. And he said, go ahead, bro. And I just went in. I didn't give no intro. I just cussed out as if I was talking to her, man. I don't know how long it was, but everything came out. I don't know if he cried on the other end of the phone. I don't know how he had, I would like to see how he handled that. But if y'all don't know, he's an Uber driver at times, so he had to cut it short. Hey, Steph, I got a customer about to get in the ride, so we got it in the car. So I don't know what would happen. I can imagine the dude stepping in the car and hearing that kind of like, dang, what did my driver do? Like, right. Yo, what's going on? Because I went off. I didn't even know I had it on in me that day, but it came out that day. And I was very thankful because I did feel better.
Oh, man.
But seriously, y'all, make sure y'all get that out, man. Don't keep that in you. Y'all got to get it out. Anger is a part of the process. It's okay to have. Okay, let me change this. It's not okay to act on thoughts because I think everybody, if you're going through divorce, you've had thoughts of ill will towards your ex-spouse. You've had it. It's natural. Yeah, I had them.
Don't feel like you haven't because you have.
Yeah, I have them. I had them. I never acted on any of them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, at times you do want them to hurt. You want them to know everything they did to you. You want them to hurt, feel worse than they hurt you. You want all mm-hmm. that. That's not mm-hmm. a godly principle, but that's how you feel.
Right.
What you do with that makes you godly or ungodly in that, you know, in that action. I didn't take any of that, you know. I wasn't perfect, and I did some things I probably shouldn't have done. I still feel good about them, though. So that's one thing I want y'all to understand. Get that off your chest. Make sure you have people to talk to. Make sure you have people to keep you grounded. But give yourself that time to heal. Take that time for you. This is your time. This is your season to breathe. This is your season to be a new you. This is your season to be who you want to be. And learn from the situation. Don't let it break you. But you got anything? I got more I could go.
Besides the fact that marriage isn't, it's not intended to break, to be broken or to break people.
Mm-hmm.
It can. And I mean, we haven't touched heavy on it, but it is extremely important, man, that I said this the last time and I'll say it again. Even though you're going through all the hurt and you're going through everything you're going through, what you're going through is not more important than them kids.
Take care of the kids. You got to take care of the kids. Take care of you, but you got to make sure them kids are good.
You got to. That's because they are more vulnerable than you are. Even though you may feel like you're at your lowest, your kids may even be the strong ones because there was times my kids had to pick me up.
Mm-hmm.
But that still put them in a position to where they still remember stuff like that. Like, your children are your own personal future.
Yeah.
And you don't want to see a generational curse. You don't want to see 10, 20 years from now, your child is going through the same thing they saw you mm-hmm. go through. And that's very possible and it happens all the time. So at the end of the day, when I would reach out to my family about when I was going through my divorce, and my family is an honest family. Literally, they was just blowing me off like me and my pain wasn't really valid because all they cared about was their grandkids, their nieces, and their nephews.
Mm.
And at the end of the day, they was like, we know you're going to get through this.
Yeah.
But the question is how are the kids' mental state right now?
Yeah.
What are y'all saying and doing around them that's not okay, not appropriate? Yeah. Are y'all bashing them? Like, are y'all, I mean, and it was, and honestly, man, I don't care how much you prepare for a divorce, you ain't prepared.
You're not.
You can be prepared mentally. You could even prepare physically, like if you got all your documents, your paperwork, and all that other stuff. Emotionally, that's going to hit you. Because I can see you could mentally prepare yourself for something that's about to come up. But you don't know what kind of emotions that's going to bring. Especially when you've been with somebody for over a decade and you see a side of them that you never saw. Mm-hmm. Or you saw, or that same side you see in them you saw when y'all first got together.
Wow. Yeah.
Which was a clear red flag. You just overlooked it.
Mm-mm-mm. Now, I didn't have that problem. I had a similar, but now the stuff I saw wasn't there. I've never seen certain things happen. But I want y'all to understand this. When y'all are going through a divorce, if y'all are going through a divorce, there's some phases that actually, even in the divorce process you go through, and I've experienced these, like I told Pudge last time, is like... in the beginning phases for me and her, it was like a, they called it a honeymoon phase, where you're trying to be nice and guard them from the emotional turmoil. Like, I'm like, I'm warning her, like, yo, you about to be off the insurance, make sure you get insurance. She's thanking me, talking, and you know, I'm giving her tips, she's giving me tips on what to buy for the kids and all this kind of stuff. We cool. You know, we ended our first couple of conversations with I love you. Seriously, that's how, that's how we ended it. And then after that, man, it was like night and day. And, you know, now, now you're acting like you don't know my character. My character was defamed. And, you know, you're acting like I'm crazy. And it was really weird. And it hurt. It was frustrating because, like, I've never been that person to give her that. Whatever reason is, when people go through divorce, they become totally different people. So I actually had to treat this woman I was married to for 20 years
like a stranger.
As a total stranger. That was weird to me. Very, very weird. But I had to guard myself, man, because the stuff she was saying wasn't lined up with who I knew her to be, or wasn't lined up who she knew me to be. Mm-hmm. It was really weird. I hated that. That's a hard phase to go through, but it happens. And then on top of that, it's like, what helped me to get through that, though? Ooh, I got some more stuff. Sorry, guys. But what helped me get through that? What helped me get through that part of it was, I read an article, and it might be different for other people, but it resonated with me. It said, you know, because I felt bad, like, dang, I'm losing my wife, I'm losing this woman I'm married to, and they explained it, and it made so much sense, because it's absolutely true. They said, when you are getting a divorce, you're not divorcing the same person you married. That is not the same person. The person you married only exists in your memories, and for me, that was very true. For other people, it might not be true, but that helped me to get through it, so I didn't feel like I was losing, at the end of the marriage, I didn't feel like I was losing anything, but, you know, but I started reminiscing, thinking back how I felt 20 years ago, 15 years ago, that kind of thing. But that had been long gone, even before the marriage ended. You know, but one thing that was very therapeutic to do is, and you have to understand this, though, when you are grieving in a marriage, when you're ending your marriage, there's certain things you have to say goodbye to in order to get through the grief process. So what you have to do, you have to say goodbye to the person. Like, this is, I'm talking about metaphorically. Like, you have to accept this. Say goodbye to the person that you've been married to. Say goodbye to that relationship. And those were those weren't hard. They all were hard, but the hardest one to me was saying goodbye to the future. Dreams. What I mean by that is saying goodbye to the stuff that y'all had said y'all was going to do that y'all never got around to. Oh, we never did this. Say goodbye to the trips that we planned. Say goodbye to the future that we had together. Say goodbye to the garden that we didn't plan. Say goodbye to the car we never bought together. Say goodbye to that type of stuff. That's what hurt me, because those are things that I was not banking on, but that hurts. Like, you set up your dreams, like, it's like, this is what we're going to do, and we never got to do that. It's okay now, but that was the hardest part for me. But you have to deal with those, each, every one of those facets of your relationship. Because when you're married, you have that person, you have the relationship, you have what y'all already built, and you have what you said you was going to build. All that is over now. Doesn't mean your life is over, but that's over. So the sooner you can accept that and heal from that, it puts you further along in the process. And another thing they suggested it in this book. This is a great book. Sorry, I keep on talking about this book. It's called Rebuilding When Your Relationship Ends. It gives you a lot of good information. A lot of good information. And the one thing that helped me out a lot, because I actually do journal to get it out. And they said, you take your journal, and this is like kind of like, I don't know, it's almost like a funeral for your marriage, I guess. And so you say goodbye to all the good stuff that you liked about the relationship. Say goodbye to, you know, the things you liked about how she smelled, how this happened, how she touched you. What that one trip y'all wanted, that favorite memory y'all had. You have to say goodbye to kind of, in a sense, bury it. That part was hard. That part was very hard for me. But on the other end of that, the cool thing is, the part that helped me out a lot was I got to say goodbye to the bad stuff, too. So I'm not going to tell you the bad stuff I had to say goodbye to, but it was a lot of bad stuff I had to say goodbye to. And as I wrote the bad stuff down, the weight was coming. I felt the weight coming off me. I felt, and it actually is the light at the end of the tunnel. Coming off. It's like at the end, though, I won't have to deal with this no more. I won't have to worry about this no more. I won't have to concern myself with this anymore. I won't have to do that. And every time, it felt more and more positive. It didn't heal me, but it definitely helped. So those are the things I would strongly suggest that you all do. That's pretty much all I got, Pudge. I feel like I got one more thing to say, but I can't think of it right now. You got anything, man?
What did you were the last thing you were saying?
I was talking about write the list down of stuff you're saying goodbye to. The good and the bad.
Mine was, there was more bad than good. So mine was letting go of the fact that we weren't gonna be together anymore.
Yeah.
I couldn't even look to no future. So my hardest part was just like realizing that like this is all the way it. Like 13 years and I don't even know what it's like to date again.
Whew.
You know, do I still got it?
I still have it.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I found it. I still got it. You know what I'm saying? But it was like that nervousness. And then 13 years ago, I was 13 years younger.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's one of those, I had just turned 30.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, dating 13 years ago was not the same. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, well, actually, it's 16 years now, but long time ago. And it was like the nervousness of getting back out there, the nervousness of, my biggest fear was meeting people and having to get to know them all over again.
Mm, yeah, because you go from that level of intimacy and comfort.
Yeah, man, that was
and
my biggest fear.
You start all the way over, yeah.
All the way over having to get to know some, and I understand why people stay in relationships so long.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, now it's the, are you lying about everything you're saying? Are you going to wait till you got my heart? And then I find out you crazy as hell.
I know, right?
You know what I'm saying? A year later, you know what I'm saying? So that was a very, and I understood what a lot of women go mm-hmm. through dating. Because I'm not that dude where I'm just looking for a one-night stand.
Mm-hmm.
Or in the beginning, I was, you know, back out there looking for a queen. Like, you know, because mm-hmm. I went with being single. I realized God was like, that's your problem. You know, mm-hmm. you don't spend any time to yourself. And you rely on a woman for what a woman is, a helpmeet. You know, and I'm like, mm-hmm. but God, you gave us them. Yeah. To be a help me.
Yeah.
So what's the issue?
What's the problem?
Know what I'm saying?
I know, right?
And he's like, the problem is you honestly, you put them before me.
Mm.
Is what he was showing me. Like,
okay.
When he showed me how much I lean and depend on a woman's support.
Yeah.
And it's just a woman doing her job in a relationship, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a man that desires to be in a relationship, you desire comfort. You desire warmth. You desire conversation. You know what I'm saying? You desire intimacy, but not intimacy on a physical level. It's intimacy in conversation.
Closeness.
You know what I'm saying? Closeness. You desire all that. So you amp to go home to talk to who you with about your day and stuff like that. So, but he's like, you've never taken the time out to just give that attention to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to learn that.
Wow.
You know, everybody does think because, you know, God does not like divorce. However, he kept telling me, every time I would go to God and pray about, do I stay, do I go? Is she going to be mine or not? I would always hear, let go.
Mm.
I want to hear, yes, leave her. And I heard those two words for a good 6-7 months, let go.
My counselor told me let go, but I couldn't.
Oh, I couldn't either. I mean, and ain't no counselor telling, I'm hearing this strictly.
Yeah, from God.
From
the counselor, right?
Right, the counselor. And then so many confirmations from different people all the way up to riding down the street looking at a billboard that says, then it says let go at the end.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean.
Too many signs.
Right, too many signs, but I still struggled to let go. Once, and he kept telling me, your life is going to be so much. Mm-hmm. Like, if I could just, he just needed for me to move my mental state past this brick wall. And everything else is going to be better. And it took a while because I stayed in denial. Like I said earlier at the beginning of the show, I stayed in denial too long.
Yeah, if you get out of denial sooner, you heal a little bit sooner.
And thing about this, like Steph gave 19 things you go through. I'm not saying denial is going to be off the rip. One of them you're going to always go through because
I think it is.
Yeah. And see, I want to say it is. However, well, honestly, this show is for people who are actually who are being hurt in divorces. Because if you're completely 100% OG good, then there's no denial.
Again, it depends on who you are. If you're the one who actually didn't see it coming, or if you're one who prepared and actually left, it's going to be a difference for you.
Right,
you're right.
Right, right. So now, but the person leaving can still be in denial too. The person could be done found somebody and done moved on and stuff like that. Okay, so an example would be my ex.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was in denial about the about me and her being the core of the destruction of our family.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she took no time to get no healing whatsoever. So all you did was took all that damage to your next relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But it was because you were in denial. Everything was all my fault. Everything was all on me. Mm-hmm. You only admitted one thing to the whole world, but you straight fought and lied about everything else.
Wow.
So you took all of that to the next level, but your denial, you never came out of your denial stage from the demise of our family.
Mm.
So you took your denial, and which is the reason why you was having a bunch of issues in your next relationship. You know what I'm saying? So, but this is somebody who made the decision to leave.
Yeah.
Had already made up in their mind they was gone and all that. Mm-hmm. But the denial was still there. Not a denial about me and her being together, but a denial about everything. Family. Yeah, everything being all right and not affecting the family.
Mm-hmm.
Always to the almost to the point where the kids are now years later starting to act out and you're looking at them like they doing the most.
Yeah.
Like, why weren't they doing this 2 years ago when all this was taking place? But
it
like
takes time,
like a counselor told me, you can't put a date on when these kids' triggers is going to set off.
Mm-hmm.
You don't. There may be something that happened in school, remind them about an argument we had when we were together. Yeah. Now, that's the trigger. So,
exactly.
So parents, you also have to accept the damage that you caused with your kids. And
hands down.
And hands down. And it could be one or twofold. I mean, it could be one parent. I highly doubt it. But majority of the time, it's both parents. There are situations where it is just one parent because you do have one parent. I'm sitting across from him right now who literally, one going nowhere, fought to the very, very end. One talking about leaving, one talking about going nowhere, be with nobody, no none of that. So he's a rare example.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I was one that was like, I'm out. You know what I'm saying? So it's yeah. And even still, even though he was a parent that didn't want nothing to do with it, his kids still suffered.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and which takes us back to what he said earlier about having to be that strong parent and not break down and have moments and stuff in front of your kids. Now, yeah. I was off and on. I had major breakdowns in front of my kids. I passed out in front of my kids one time. So, to the point where they were calling the cops because they thought I was like having like a mini stroke or heart attack or something.
Yeah.
But it was bad. But that was because I kept wearing the mask. I went from a family of six to a family of five. But I went from going to work, coming home, and just being there relaxed and spend time with my kids to having to cook dinner the night before. Get up, mm-hmm. go to work, work 12 hours, come home, and still have the kids finish up dinner. You know what I'm saying? Then help them with their homework, whoever needs it. Make sure everybody... I became Mr. Mom. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, you know, I got wore out. But I only got wore out because I wasn't listening to God. God continued to kept telling me to let go. And when she would go back and forth from, oh, I think I want to be with you. Oh, this nigga ain't acting right. Let me come back home. And, you know, all this other stuff.
That's torture, well, man.
Yeah, it's torture. Yeah. And that's what wore me out. So... Mm. You know, pulling on that one heartstring that still wanted our marriage to work, I was her backup plan. Like, she wanted it to work with the new relationship, but just in case it didn't, I was the backup plan.
Wow.
And in the midst of that, I'm still trying to be strong in front of the kids. And when your kids know you, they know when the mask is on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they don't they see you trying your best and whatnot. But I tell you, hands down. I do not believe I would be alive and breathing correctly had it not been for my four children. They continue to breathe life into me. They continue to speak life into me. They continue to keep me going, keep my mental straight. I ran out of the house one day with more than one gun to go do something that was totally off the wall. My kids were the ones that was able to talk me off several ledges.
Thank God for kids, right?
Thank God for kids,
for real,
man. And I tell people all the time, I don't know who I would be or where I would be if my kids wasn't a part of this divorce.
Mm.
You know, but the fact that, because there was a time I didn't care about living or dying. I didn't care about nothing. And I was just like, but every time I sat there and thought about either ending my own life or allowing myself to do something stupid so my life can get taken, I saw four kids' faces keep popping up in my face.
Mm.
And
wow,
I thank God for that, man.
Amen. Wow.
That's all I got.
That's a lot. You said a lot, man. Like, it's like, what's that? Like, I want to say something. Like,
that's all I got. That's all I got.
I'll share a little bit, and I'm going to let it go. I agree with Pudge. It's an adjustment period that you go through. And another thing I want to add, just to add this real quick, the spouse who left, you know, no one, I can't fault, every situation is different. I can't fault every spouse that left. You know, it's not about that. But however, statistics show that the spouse who left, they deal with the guilt a lot more, I think, first. Or a lot more because they feel bad. Like, yo, I tore up the family. I did this. This is my fault. So they deal with the guilt. The person who was left, they deal with the denial first a lot of times. But they also say the spouse who left, a lot of times the person they leave will start doing better, and that spouse wants them again. They come back. They try to come back. Mm-hmm. They say oftentimes the person doesn't take them back more than not. And if they do, it usually still doesn't work out.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's kind
of
interesting.
Yeah, that's I've heard of several cases like that. And majority of times, the spouse comes back because they see that the person is in a much better place.
Yeah.
Whether it's mentally, physically, they doing a whole lot better than they were without them. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of different reasons. Yeah. Now, I actually know a couple where they got married young. They got a divorce maybe 2-3 years after being married. And he wound up moving away out of state. And I don't know what God did or what happened, but he wound up, you know, telling her he was stupid. He was a fool. He can't believe he actually divorced her and asked for her back.
Mm-hmm.
She took him back. If I'm not mistaken, it's been every bit of 13 years now.
Wow.
And they are happy as I don't know what.
That's
so,
a
you know,
story.
Yeah, so there are some rare cases. There are some rare cases where, you know, and my thing is, if you're moving outside of God's will, which means you done left and you weren't supposed to, God still makes ways for you to, you know, make up for that. He still gives you an avenue to where, you know, I ain't completely shut this door. Because I do believe there's somebody for everybody. And I do believe that, you know, if there's somebody you're supposed to be with who don't want you, I strongly believe God will replace that person with someone else.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in a heartbeat,
yes,
too. You know what I'm saying?
I agree 110% with that statement.
Because I did. Now, I do believe that I do believe in soulmates. I know a lot of people don't believe in soulmates. I do believe in soulmates.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was married, I used to always say all the time, God, this is not what you have for me.
Wow.
Like this can't be. This can't be. Like, you did not set up for my life when you was molding me in this clay. You did not set up for my life for me to have a verbally abusive woman. You know what I'm saying? I just don't believe that you had that for me. Like, me being the quote unquote aggressive alpha male, man, when I'm in a relationship, I'm about the biggest teddy bear you're gonna ever find.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, all that sarcasm and stuff, that's for people outside my relationship.
Yeah.
I'm not that person when I'm in a relationship. So it's like, why would you give me someone like that?
Mm.
And I've told her several times, so ain't like I'm talking about it, and I tell everybody this all the time. Thank God for that, for me dealing with a sarcastic razor blade mouth for 13 years, because I can handle an insult.
You do learn some stuff, man.
Yeah,
you do
learn. I mean, everything wasn't all bad. I learned a lot of important things about myself being with somebody for over a decade, and I learned a lot of things about her as well over the years. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like like I said, twofold on my end, on why we split. It wasn't no, she just did this, she just did that, or I just did this. No, it was both parties who did things outside of God's will.
Mm-hmm.
You had one party that was trying to reconcile and make it work, and the other party who had found somebody else and didn't want it to work.
Mm-hmm.
So
That's what happened. You don't want it to work, it ain't going to work.
Right, and when it comes to counseling, just a quick nugget. Don't ever try to get counseling if one person is not with it. It will be an epic fail. And statistics and counseling will even tell you that it winds up being disastrous and it winds up making things worse for the couple.
Mm.
So if you, and I experienced that. So I'm talking from experience. You got one person that wants to be in counseling to reconcile. You got another person only in counseling to figure out how to get over you.
Wow.
You don't really know that that's why they're in counseling.
Yeah.
But the other, they're, both parties were not on the same page. If y'all got to be on the same page when it comes to counseling. Even if y'all not on the same page when it comes to each other, you got to be on the same page when it comes to the counseling of the children. If y'all don't ever want to get counseling and y'all want to stay effed up, that's between y'all. Mm-hmm. Don't do that to y'all children. You know what I'm saying? Like, my kids are all teenagers and I have one adult. It still hurts me that it's been 6 years and my son wrote a song with a clear, vivid memory of the day he found out me and his mom was getting divorced 6 years ago.
Yeah.
So don't tell me them kids. I don't care if your child is five. They're going to remember.
Mm-hmm.
They may not be able to speak about it and talk about it, but kids from the time they're born to either five or seven, whatever happens between them, between that age, it normally stays with them for life.
Yeah.
So that's just another nugget for y'all, too.
All right, so last thing, and then we got to let y'all go. I want to encourage everybody out there because when you go through a divorce, it seems like it is the darkest thing that you can go through. It seems like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. The pain is extreme, excruciating, emotional pain, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Am I lying?
No, you're not. Not at all.
So the encouragement part comes in. Understand that as time goes on, that pain will lessen. Do not give up on yourself. Do not give up on life. You deserve to be happy. You done went through enough hell already. If you go through the divorce, you done went through enough hell. So you deserve to be happy. Do not give up or understand it will disappear. It will dissipate, rather. It will lessen over time, and you will heal. You will come out of this good. You will be okay. Pudge mm-hmm. is in a great place. Pudge is actually healed over his marriage.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and just to let you know, I didn't mean to cut him off, but my ex-wife is now married.
Yeah.
Been married going on 2 years now. Me and her husband get along real good. And that is something I never thought I would be able to say.
Mm-hmm.
I speak to him more than I do her. Me and her are cordial, but I can actually legit have a conversation with him. And guess what? I'm the one who didn't want to let go, but I'm in an awesome place. And the most happiest thing that makes me happy is that he's an alpha male with an aggressive attitude like mine, and he'll die for my children.
Bless him.
I couldn't ask for anything better with, as far as God blessing her with the right kind of husband that I would want her to have. You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? So this is a fast forward. And 6 years, y'all. 6 years. And 6 years sound like a lot, but 2016 was when he came into the picture. When he came into the picture, I was already over her.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just the scary part was, what kind of man is he? You know, what kind of background does he have? Mm-hmm. You know, how's it going to be around my kids? That's the whole... You get married and don't have no intentions on getting a divorce. So when you got to start thinking about that, that's a whole nother level of emotions and feelings you never encountered about having to wonder about another male or female being around your kids.
Yeah.
And then you got to wonder, is their mental state all right?
Yeah.
What have they been scarred mm-hmm. with that they going to be? What kind of spirit they got on them that's going to be around my children? So when I say I'm blessed because of who she chose to marry.
It's a
beautiful thing. So I'm a perfect example of somebody who had a real messy, disastrous divorce, and 6 years later,
that's
everybody's cordial,
yeah.
everybody's happy. Me and my kids are back getting counseling, you know, for
Amen.
The things that happened way back
that's
then.
What's up.
Right. So I mean it was a good turnout, y'all. It was a good turnout.
And keep that in mind. I'm not where he is yet.
Yeah,
I'm
but he's gonna be
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
though.
Definitely. I'm not denying that. I'm heading there pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. I will say for me, in my understanding, the gauge to denote if you're healed or not is, even a goal, is to be indifferent about your ex-spouse, whether she's with somebody, whether she's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be concerned about her well-being, but, you know, what she says, what she does, it shouldn't take you to a place of bitterness or anger anymore. That's how you know you're, in my personal opinion, that you know you're healed.
Right.
For me, my milestones were... not wanting her anymore, how I would react if I found out she was with somebody, how would I act if I saw her with somebody. So I can say I've been around her and her partner, and it did bother me, but it didn't bother me on the level I thought it would.
Mm-hmm.
On a scale of 1 to 10, I think I may have said a 5 or 6. It just depends on the day. But it's never like to the point where I can't be around. Like I choose not to be because it's
right.
not where I'm at.
Right.
Right. However, I'm okay. Yeah, me and her are cordial. She knows about my lady. She's been around my lady. They cordial too. It's not a problem. Mm-hmm. Everybody's good. You know, I'm still taking it one day at a time. I told myself I'm not gonna force a friendship or her to be my enemy. I'm just gonna let time, nature take its course. Whatever happens, happens. I'm good either way.
Right.
But yes, I do know a deadline. I do know where I would be better. So March 1st, 2020. That's where I'll be okay. I'll be up in her wedding. Like, yo, I'll be the best man at her wedding by that time. So I'll be counseling her and her spouse. Like, yo, you need to do better here. That's where I'll be in March 2020.
Hey, you need to do better here.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So either way, I'm good. Pudge is good, yo. And I'm going to tell y'all a quick, funny story. This is a topic that we don't want to talk about. We didn't want to talk about it. Pudge didn't want to talk. I didn't want to talk about it. So we tried to record it a week ago. I ain't snitching on you, man.
I didn't hit the record button, y'all. Tell me he ain't snitching on me, but he's snitching on me.
I wasn't. You took it. Look, all I'm going to say, for a topic we didn't want to discuss, we poured all out. This is something we don't want to talk about over and over. Then come to find out it didn't record. That was frustrating. It was devastating.
It was, man. It was.
But nevertheless, I know that this is for somebody or somebody's out there. So we still want to push through and do this one. I feel like we need a happy topic at this point.
Lord Jesus.
So hopefully, Lord willing, God will give us a happy topic for y'all next week. But we will be back on the air next week, Facebook Live, Instagram Live, somewhere. But you can tell people about us. Hit us up on crosstalkpodcast@gmail.com, crosstalk with a K. Hit us out. Check us out on Facebook, crosstalk with a K. Let us know what you think of the show. Let us know what you thought, what you want us to talk about. Anything. We just want your feedback because this is a show for y'all, not for us. It's therapeutic for us, but I want to make sure we're reaching listeners and giving them what they need out there. So that's all I got, Pudge. You ready for the shout-outs?
Yes, I am.
All right, I'm going to do my farts first. So special shout-outs to our cross-songs out there. Shout-outs to Dorothy Brown, my mom, always tuning in. Shout-out to November. Shout-out to Brenda. Shout-out to Ramil. Shout-out to our homegirl, Brandy. Shout-out to Alicia. All right, Pudge, who we got now?
All right, we got the top. I'm going to read the top 10 cities, man. We got Morrow, Georgia. Yeah. Stone Mountain, Georgia. Atlanta, Georgia. Graysonville, Maryland. Remedian, Mississippi, Roswell, Georgia, Menlo Park, California, Conyers, Georgia, Fayetteville, Georgia, Lebanon, Tennessee, Rex, Georgia, Mumbai, that's in India.
India, baby.
India, and San Jose, California.
West Coast in the building, India in the building. Yo, we worldwide.
India, baby, worldwide.
Shout out to our future listeners. Shout out to Lovework Studios, always hooking us up.
Always, always.
All right, man, you ready?
Yes, I am.
I'm Steph Swig.
I'm Big Punch.
Cross Talk
Radio. Peace.